Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, August 27th, and it's 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. We have a new police chief in town who arrived last month. That's Police Chief Gene Meek. He was previously stationed in Sedona and left there to come here. So we're going to learn a little bit about his job, his vision for Wrangell when it comes to public safety, and what his experience with the town has been so far. This conversation is live, but today we don't have the capacity to answer any phones for the show. So hi, Chief Meek. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I was really looking forward to somebody calling in. That's kind of disappointing. You really get to hear back from the community that way.
I know. It is a little disappointing, but it is okay.
Yes.
So you arrived here last month. How are you liking Wrangell so far?
Oh, I love it. Most people probably know now by now, if not by listening to me or having previous contact with me, is I come from Eastern Kentucky, and Wrangell, it reminds me so much of the little town that I grew up in. And if you took a backhoe and scooped up Wrangell and dropped it out in the Daniel Boone National Forest, you probably couldn't tell the difference other than the Red River's a lot smaller than what we have out here outside your window.
Nice. Yeah. Well, water. You know, it's important to live by water.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. So we did talk a couple months ago, and I remember you like coffee. Have you found a good coffee shop business here in Wrangell?
You know, I drink a lot of pressed coffee, and we order bags of coffee from all over. I really like going to the Stick because you have that big, wide open veranda, and you can just sit there and just admire the water, and the tourists come in off the cruise ships. But I'll be honest, I've been to every single coffee shop that's here, whether they realize who I was or not, just because I get around to the different coffee shops, and I've got quite the habit. I got quite the coffee habit.
All right. Yeah, what's your favorite kind so far?
Ooh, here or overall, because that's a loaded question.
Let's say overall.
Overall, I'm going to have to go with sun-dried Ethiopian Sodamo. They take the coffee cherries, they pick them off the trees, they lay them out in the sun, and the fruit just kind of dries around the cherry, then they grind it up, roast it, and it tastes like a little bundle of heaven. It really does.
Maybe we can get that here. Somebody.
I'm sure.
So you've previously worked all over, and I mean globally. You were stationed in Afghanistan, you worked in Florida and Colorado, and you were just in Sedona. What is that like transitioning from big city to Afghanistan and then to smaller cities like here?
Yes, ma'am. I've kicked quite a few rocks in my career, starting with Lexington, Kentucky. I mean, it was a decent-sized agency, about 550 officers. Left, went down to the Collier County Sheriff's Office down in far south Florida. That was a massive agency, but all included with the jail and street patrol. I think it was about 2,400. But I also had small town policing when you talk about Center Colorado. And I've had a great career. I really have. I retired out of Florida and went to Afghanistan for a year, like you stipulated, doing some warrant-based operations within the Afghan legal system. I was assigned to the 101st Air Assault. Soldotna was quite a bustling little area. July, August, you probably have about 100,000 people passing through that town daily. And what brought me here is because it was so much like back home, and I wanted to still be in Alaska and wanted to be near the water. But finding a place like this, which was just like being home, just brought me home.
Yeah. And yeah, does it feel good to be back at quote Mark's home?
Yes, it does. It really does.
Great. Awesome. So since you've been here, what have you realized your priorities have been for Wrangell's public safety?
Now, that's one of the things that I did when I first came in. The first 2 weeks was really making a lot of connections with the department and the town itself. I went around doing a little, I called it a survey. And in essence, that is what it was. I went around asking people, what does the Wrangell Police Department do well? What does it need to improve on? What resources do we need? And there were not that many different answers between how the officers and dispatchers viewed the police department and what the general public viewed the police department, because I've talked close to 50 people at this point, and which I had coffee with the chief there right before I started. Same thing. I set up, started asking people what they thought. And out of that survey, I came up with an evaluation. And I'm still looking at that evaluation and trying to prioritize what exactly we need for the future. One of the things I can tell you is we need better technology. Our dispatch center is still running a lot off of just plain old Microsoft. Officers are handwriting citations. We don't have a true computer-aided dispatch system, which is prevalent throughout the rest of the nation. Even in Little Center, Colorado, which was the comparable size, we're advancing so much beyond what's here currently. With a lot of the I would call it transportation that's here in Wrangell. We have a ferry terminal. We have the ports with the shipping coming in. We have an airport. We have cruise ships coming in. With all this transportation that comes through the area, one of the things that we're really looking at is getting a canine, just to have that capability of identifying drugs. And then we'll have it dual certified, probably in the arena of maybe explosives. I'm still open to that right now, but just covering what the needs are for the community. Obviously, a drug canine would help as far as stopping any trafficking coming through the area. And that's one thing I noticed even before I came here. I was getting training in Sitka, and there was a major drug arrest that passed along the ferry system coming out of Bellingham going up to Juneau. So if it's there going across the ferry, it's here also. And it just gives us that tool to help stop those narcotics that are coming through the area and just killing communities. It really does.
Yeah. And so when you say canine, it would just be one, or would it be a couple?
Start small. Let's start with one and see what the need is from there.
Yeah. Okay. And then also, I remember talking with you and you mentioning how important it is for community, like, you know, community public safety. One example is just having like a what's the word?
One of the things, and I'm glad you brought that up, is the community, the public safety community engagements. That's, if you look at my evaluation, that's huge on my agenda. Getting those educational incentives out there, not because Wrangell is infested with crime. That's one of the lovely things about living here is there's a survey out there right now where Wrangell is the second safest city in Alaska. But that also leaves the door open for a lot of victimization if we start seeing the same trends as other areas. For example, do you know what fentanyl looks like in its different forms?
I do not.
There is an issue that we need to address. A lot of people in this community probably do not know what fentanyl looks like, whether it's in its pill form, its powder form, the different mixtures. So current drug trends that are affecting all the other areas, it's very important for our community to know, because number one, something like fentanyl, just what's on the tip of a little pencil, unfortunately folks out there can't see it, but I have a little mechanical pencil here, but what's on the tip of that little mechanical pencil is enough to kill someone. So the community really needs to know what that looks like, how to avoid it, and even more importantly, if someone is having an opioid overdose, which fentanyl falls into that category, what to do and what signs and symptoms to look for. The same thing with the methamphetamines going through, and then there's some more recent drugs that they're mostly all synthetic that are coming through the United States right now. We want everybody to know, because even if they're not here, what if you travel? What if you go somewhere else? We want people to know what these things are. The different modern fraud is off the hook. I think I did a presentation to the Soldotna Senior Center, and it I think at the time there was $3 billion worth of fraud in Alaska. Alaska, $3 billion. We're not talking about the rest of the United States. So let's look at the different and inform the community on the different fraud schemes that are out there and how people are defrauding each other, whether it's online or through the mail or through telephone calls or through Bitcoin. That's just the things that the community needs to know. And then really, really getting into the schools and educating our youth. Things that would they really need to know. Just like this little device in my hand, the cell phone. Man, it ties us together like you wouldn't believe. It also provides the opportunity for exploitation. Up in the Kenai Peninsula area, Lieutenant Browning from Homer started off with a really large presentation on what this can do to the life of a youth who's not being monitored. You send that nudie photo out there. It's out there forever. You can't get it back. And it's devastating people's lives from the early ages of 14, 15, 16. Once again, things that the youth need to know that once that goes out there, there is no getting it back. And you won't see it again in one brief span. You'll see it forever for the rest of your life. So we want to get into the schools and let's talk gun safety. Let's talk about the safe use of firearms, what firearms are and what to look for and how to legally use them in the state and things that you shouldn't be doing with them. So there's so much room for improvement in our community education and community outreach programs.
Yeah. Do you have any dates lined up for visiting the schools yet?
I've already been in the schools.
Okay.
I started last Thursday. Unfortunately, a couple of events have kept me out. I know Officer Rohr got into the school one day when I wasn't there, but we're going to just be making our appearances there, kind of walking through the school, saying hi to everybody, let them get used to seeing us, and start up some conversations. I know I'm really big into basketball, so I can't wait for pickup basketball to be starting up on Sundays. I've been known to throw an elbow or two, so I'll apologize ahead for anybody listening that catches one.
Oh, no.
It happens. Native Kentuckian, so it's not just a sport, it's religion. We all go play ball. But it's just getting out there and having fun with the youth.
Yeah. And then you mentioned, okay, so for including the community, you know, you mentioned identifying certain drugs. I also remember this is what I was going to say is self-defense workshops too.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yes.
So how would these look for people who are not in high school? You would just hold a workshop or?
We would mimic the program that we were doing up in the Kenai in the Soldotna area. And that was, it was so overwhelming. We held one, we called it Toss a Cop. It was a women's self-defense course. We found out that we needed a lot more. We had 140 women sign up for that course, and it was a five-hour course. We'll probably chop them down into something a little bit more easy to give, you know, a couple hours, and make it a lot more frequent. Because we had up there, we had to put 60 women on a wait list for the next course, because it was so. It was so just, I don't know, the draw to it was amazing. And what we did is we brought in a lot of law enforcement. We brought in a lot of jiu-jitsu practitioners. And all we taught was some basic self-defense courses. And they loved it. They really did. So we would mimic that program. Another program that I'm really wanting to kick off, we might not have the manpower to run a full Citizens Police Academy, but going into this winter, I would really like starting to choose a day every 2 weeks and doing a citizen educational on what law enforcement is and what we do and some of the duties that we do. Have discussions on where police use of force comes from. I mean, that's a touchy subject right now. We have the use of force up in Juneau where five officers were involved in that shooting. all over the nation. Anytime you see law enforcement in a negative light, it usually revolves around use of force. And I'd like to show people what our policies look like, the Supreme Court case laws that those policies are based upon, and how we justify our uses of force and what makes it excessive. Another topic is something that a lot of people really don't understand, is that concept between a law enforcement citizen contact, reasonable suspicion to detain someone, probable cause for an arrest, beyond all reasonable doubt, which is the conviction standard in a court of law, and how that falls across the spectrum of law enforcement and going into prosecution and defense. A lot of people don't understand how that applies and at what levels that we operate at. So that's something that I would just pick in those concepts and having a 2-hour block of instruction and teaching folks on what we do and why we do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. And also you did do coffee with the chief, right?
Yes. Is that what it's yes.
called? Yes. Do you plan on continuing that?
I plan on having that once a month until there's no more interest. And we had quite a few people show up at the last one. They kind of just trickled in. I had some show up a half hour early. I had some show up one time, and I had some show up a half hour late. But it was just actually beneficial for me because I got a little bit more one-on-one time with everybody that showed up. And that's what it's about, is just getting out and talking to folks and finding out what their public safety concerns are and then being able to address those concerns.
Great. Awesome. So what do you like about your position as police chief?
I have a very young group of officers, so it allows me the opportunity to teach not just in the community, but to those officers also. I've got 30 years in. Law enforcement has changed a lot in my 30-year career, and being able to teach them on just the transition of that and just modern police concepts, and then growing the department. We have a lot of modernization coming in, just as far as like I was talking about, getting newer updated computer systems, getting computer-aided dispatch, bringing a canine program in, just taking a department that's here and it's been kind of in cruise control for the last however many number of years, and really making it not just, well, I have lofty goals. I don't want to be just, you know, a good department. I want to be the best in Southeast Alaska. So,
yeah, that's a great, great goal to work towards.
Yes,
for
ma'am.
Sure. What challenges do you experience with your job?
Usually my challenges come in the form of just a lack of knowledge. Not just here, everywhere I've been. You look at a lot of the problems with the negative press and the negative media and the negative social media that people portray about law enforcement today. A lot of that just comes from not understanding what our jobs are about and how we're supposed to function. And that's makes some distinct challenges, and it also creates that just to educate our community. That way they understand, and they might not agree. They might not agree. There's a lot of things that I expect people to disagree over, and that's what our legislative systems are for, and is to change the way laws are, and we can always talk about policies and why we have certain policies and maybe changing or modifying policies, because, like I said, law enforcement's changed a lot over the last 30 years. It'll continue to change going into the future.
Yeah. So before your arrival, I don't think press releases were brought forward to the public.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's now changed. So far, we've received 2 press releases, including one that happened last night, unfortunately.
Yes.
So you mentioned in a previous conversation with me how transparency is important. Can you speak about that and what the public is to expect with further press releases?
One of the things that you're going to find, especially in a small community, is there are no secrets. And we like just being as open as we possibly can. Keep in mind, we're under obligations to keep something confidential, especially when you're looking at criminal investigations. But I really like being open to the public over at least what's going on. And those press releases that you received, you know, I mean, those are two of the negative examples. I'd like to have positive examples, and those will come in the future. But being able to communicate with the public over what happened instead of getting it second, third, fourth person through the rumor mill, at least you have an idea of what has occurred. And just being as open as we can about why we do what we do, it helps. Once again, I don't expect everybody to agree, but it helps at least with basic understanding.
Yeah, definitely. Great. And then another topic I'd like to discuss is euthanasia. So we don't have a full-time veterinarian here on the island, and I know some pet owners have gone to various lengths when it comes to sick pets. Recently, the city and residents have tried figuring out which public officials could administer euthanasia if needed. And at a previous borough assembly meeting, the city clerk mentioned that you would be open to this. What are your thoughts on this, and how do you know what's going on with that?
I am very open to it. The loss of a pet is very similar to the loss of a loved one. And my heart reaches out to those who have pets, and those pets are in need to be euthanized. It really traumatizes a pet owner to do that themselves, or, you know, even a worst case scenario is if you have to take a sick pet to another area because our vet may not be here, and just that long exposure to an animal that's suffering. It's a very heartfelt situation, and if we can do something to help the public as far as not need to go through those situations, we're going to do it. Where it currently stands is the training program that used to be offered and was recognized by the state kind of just went away. So we're trying to adapt and follow the state standards, and we're having a little bit of trouble getting an appropriate training program. Once I find a couple of alternatives, I'm going to be reaching out to our veterinarian judge.
Yes.
And seeing what his preferences are, and then just making it happen. And having those, because I have no problem being called out from the house. Obviously, I was out since 3 o'clock this morning. But coming out and taking care of those situations as they occur. And at least giving folks that peace of mind and not having to have their animal suffer.
Yeah, yeah. Are there any other issues you see the community needing that you would like to work on?
Nothing beyond what I've mentioned. I have a lot of large aspirations and goals. The department is learning that. We're working on improving our public safety building, and I'm really hoping to get some gun education opened up so we can open up a range to the public. We have a firing range downstairs for handguns. And getting improvements on that building done, cleaning up a few things that need to be done in the building, and then modernizing. I was shocked that our jail inside the police department still ran off of the old school skeleton keys. It kind of blew my mind. So we're going to have to go out and solicit some grants and see about getting some money in there to do upgrades like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And anything else you'd like to add about your job or you or Wrangle? Or?
I am really excited to be here. I really am. And anybody who works with me over at City Hall will let you know that I have a lot of enthusiasm. And I'm just happy to be here and look forward to the future. And I won't say it to the officers, but this is kind of like my end of the road retirement job, even though I'm a little high strung to retire. So they get to see a lot of the things that, well, they'll be participants in a lot of things that we're going to do with this town and this borough.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with me and the rest of the community who's listening. That was Police Chief Gene Meek, who arrived here last month in Wrangell.
Yes, right? And keep your eyes open on our Facebook page. I'll be putting out the next Coffee with the Chief, and please come by. Even if you have some hard questions, I'm not afraid of hard questions along with the easy ones.
Yeah, hard questions are, oh, it's part of life.
It is. It is.